set aside the huge income disparity between the 1% and most everyone else, says Sonoma State economics professor Stephen Cuellar, and you'll find another gap, one that he thinks is more interesting.
Inequality exists within wage earners, people that have to go to work. And I think this is more relatable to most people because most of us are wage earners.
Nor is this an isolated phenomenon. Cuellar says it shows up across multiple sectors of the economy.
Turns out that all industries, manufacturing and services, are both experiencing the same kind of phenomena. Even within the service economy, you see automation. You know, if you look at a typical McDonald's, how they make hamburgers, it's literally how they used to make cars. It's an assembly line. That exists in the manufacturing sector also. So both sectors are adopting the same technology, and the same technological shifts are causing the wage inequality.
It's not something new. This has been growing since the mid-1970s. But wage inequality was not happening earlier in the 1950s and 60s. So what changed? Cuellar says it's no mystery.
The growing inequality is generally the result of growing reliance on technical skills in the workforce. Automation and assembly line processes reduce costs. It also minimizes the level of skill needed for the workforce. On the other end, someone has to design these manufacturing processes, and those are the jobs that generally pay more. And then the business aspects. To make more hamburgers, you need to sell more hamburgers, and that involves the marketing and all those aspects, and those kinds of jobs tend to pay better than the lower skill jobs.
Just as in the overall economy, this inequality in wages within the workforce mostly hurts those at the low end of the scale.
The demand for skilled workers has risen, and that's pushed up wages at the top. While similarly at the bottom, the demand for low-skilled workers has generally declined, and that has suppressed wages. And that's where the wage inequality comes from. They've remained relatively flat for 20, 25 years. That's not good, but that's not necessarily really bad either.
And the income disparity creates ripples through the rest of the economy.
If you see rising wages at the top, you tend to see the economy geared towards where the money is. So firms like Neiman Marcus and Nordstrom's, they do well. Similarly, you see firms that cater to the bottom tend to do well. The Walmarts and those kinds of firms. It's those middle firms where problems are. Sears, Kmart, JCPenney, all those kind of middle-tier firms haven't fared as well.
Beyond the realm of retail, Cuellar adds, there are also consequences for our society as a whole.
It's going to affect everything. If you think about healthcare, people that tend to make more, they get really good healthcare. At the bottom, they get really poor healthcare. The same with education. So we see the ramifications of the disparity throughout the economy.
Recently, there has been a renewed push to increase the federal minimum wage, something that many states, including California, have already done on their own. Such a change does help working people, Cuellar says, but there is also a downside.
The changing dynamics of the economy is going to manifest itself somehow. If you raise the minimum wage, it may result in greater unemployment for low-skilled workers. So pick your poison. You can either have wage inequality or you can have greater unemployment of low-skilled workers.
I'm Bruce Robinson for KRCB's North Bay Report.